Hello and welcome to another BRC podcast. I'm William Madison. Today will be a special edition of the podcast where we will be looking at an issue that we know is extremely pressing for a lot of our members, that being customs and VAT issues arising from the end of the transition period on the 31st of December. I'm very lucky today to be joined by a few different experts in the field, the first of which, Caroline Barraclough, Global Trade Partner at Deloitte. Caroline, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
We're also joined by William Bain, Trade Policy Advisor from the BRC. William, how are you?
Great as ever.
And Aidan Connolly, Director of the Northern Ireland Retail Consortium. Good to speak to you again, Aidan.
Yes, good to speak to you too, William. Hope you had a good weekend.
Thank you very much, I did. So much of the negotiations focus on is on whether the UK-EU trade will still be zero tariff from the 1st of January. But there's still a great deal of work which companies can do now to prepare for leaving the customs union, the single market, and the common VAT area. So in this podcast, we'll be looking at how to meet the compliance challenges after the end of the transition period. So Caroline, starting with you, what would be the top bits of advice that you would give to businesses starting and those who are seeking to conclude their customs and import VAT preparedness work ahead of the end of the transition period?
So I think the first thing that I would suggest is sense check what you've already done. It's been really amazing how many organisations we've worked with where actually the starting gambit has been things like, we don't want to talk about the obvious stuff like EORI numbers. And actually when we've gone on to talk about those topics, particularly one recent example, actually they didn't have the EORI numbers set up for the business model that they were operating. So I think it's just sense check, kick the tyres and look at what you've done already. So that would be number one. I think the second one, linked to that finalising where you were up to with planning, is actually to challenge at this point. I've worked with a lot of organisations where they've spoken to customers, spoken to suppliers, spoken to third parties like customs brokers, and actually it's about challenging what the responses are now. So where your broker says, yes, we've got capacity and we have systems in place, ask for information around that. So just challenge the information and ask for detail around it, because actually it's easy for everybody to say that they're ready.
So what difference has the UK government unilateral easements made in terms of phasing in some of the forthcoming checks and paperwork?
This has been quite an interesting one to follow, actually, because I think when they first came in and when we heard about the transitional simplified procedures, sort of the last iteration, there was a lot of interest around how this would support businesses. But actually, what we're seeing with a lot of our clients is that despite the fact that there are those sort of processes in place to ease the import formalities for that first period, we're actually seeing where they have processes in place already for rest of the world imports. Even though the volumes are going to increase, obviously, significantly post-Brexit, they are preferring not to run a dual system for ROW on the one side and then EU imports on the other. And I think there's still quite a lot of confusion and nervousness around things like entry into commercial records and actually how the traceability will work within that system, both from a commercial side, but also then how that will link in with how your third-party customs broker or freight forwarder declares those goods on your behalf. So I think that's what we're seeing, actually less clients going towards some of those easements and actually more looking to get processes in place now that they will carry on through from the 1st of January and beyond, obviously the 1st of July, where those easements go to.
So what are some of the key unresolved customs and VAT issues which companies should seek advice upon as soon as possible, really, to reduce their exposure? What are the areas businesses can benefit from most from a specialist compliance advice?
So I think this area is linked to the free trade agreement or no free trade agreement that you talked about earlier. And I think it's almost not waiting to see now is really key around getting those things in place. So, it's probably not unresolved as such, but one of the call outs is definitely to consider what those no regret actions and decisions are going to be. So, if there is an FTA, do you know what your build-up of your BOM looks like for the origin of your products? And although you might not know the detail around the FTA, do you know the detail around your products and how that's held within your commercial system? So that would be the one on the sort of FTA side, but also on the other side, we've had a lot of clients taking that wait and see approach with mitigations such as customs warehousing and inward processing relief. And I think it's just time to act now. Some of these things aren't resolved, but actually in terms of business risk, it's about taking some of those actions now and perhaps being bold just in case the free trade agreement isn't there, or depending on what the terms of that free trade agreement might look like for your business and the products that you're moving.
So William, turning to you now, is it now the case that there's no difference between a no trade deal and what might emerge if there is a deal, specifically on the point of customs processes and VAT?
Well, it's certainly the case that if you look at some of the options that were on the table as late as last summer, you know, talks of Swiss style deals and you know, Turkish style deals, then, you know, clearly what we're likely to end up with if there is a free trade agreement, you know, will be more like a sort of thin form of the Canada style agreement. And so that means there are going to be customs declarations, there are full customs processes, you need to have safety and security declarations ready, you need to be able to prove the origin of your goods so that if there is tariff-free trade, that it will be a good that qualifies for a zero tariff. And so that comes into discussions about how much of the content is either, you know, within Great Britain, how much can come under the accumulation rules, which are not going to be as generous as it looks like the UK government were seeking at the very start of this. And then also around VAT, you know, we know that goods transactions are going to be imports and exports rather than intra-union supplies of goods, as far as Great Britain's concerned, different Northern Ireland. And so companies have to get around these rules and to begin to navigate them and understand them and how to operate them. And that's also going to mean to take advantage of some of the easements that have been made by the UK government, that companies have duty deferment accounts. That they've these opened, because that's the only way that you're going to be able to avoid the liability to pay customs duties in January is if you do have one of these accounts. So that's something really practical that companies could do this week in order to get ready for the 1st of January, is just make sure they've got these accounts set up. There's also the other key steps like having an EORI number, making sure that your freight forwarder or your customs agent is engaged. I think what's going to be important for the kind of supply chains involved in retail is that the supplier, often based in the EU, has also knowledge and understanding of what's going to be expected of them in terms of getting products out of the EU and into Great Britain, because there will still be some exit formalities required by EU customs rules. And I think on VAT, you know, it's a particularly complex area. You know, I recently did a session for a group of small retailers who operate via one of the big online platforms. And it was very interesting to sort of get a sense about the degree of sort of novelty that complying with import VAT processes was going to involve for them. And of course, in terms of goods going from Great Britain to the European Union, there are different EU rules in place in each of the member states about whether there is a deferment, for example, postponed accounting for import VAT. So it's not just EU rules that small retailers are going to have to get used to, but in areas like VAT, sometimes some different rules in each of the member states.
Are there any areas of divergence emerging now where we can see ways in which the GB and the EU might go their separate ways in terms of VAT policies, I mean?
Well, it's really interesting that one of the first areas that would have been a test of this, we're actually seeing convergence with the general principle, but difference in terms of the timescale. So again, if you're a platform or a marketplace and you have lots of small sellers who sell via you, there's a new rule coming in the EU that the marketplace is liable to collect and account for the import VAT involved with those transactions. And that's been delayed in the EU until next July. In the UK, it's going to be a similar scheme is going to be introduced on the 1st of January. So again, we've got convergence on the key aims, but quite a bit of divergence in terms of when they're being introduced. So I think we are going to see some issues over time. You know, obviously the UK is now changing its reliefs in terms of tax-free shopping on the high street. From a retailer's perspective, I think the hope is very much that they don't go through with that change. But if they do, you know, that would be very different in terms of the situation comparing London with other major European shopping capitals like Paris and Barcelona. So I think it is likely over time that we're going to see divergence. That's why traders are going to have to work closely with their trade bodies and with others to make sure that they have the best intelligence so that they can get their goods to consumers as quickly and efficiently as they possibly can in this new environment.
So, Aidan, turning to you now, what are the challenges in terms of Great Britain to Northern Ireland customs and VAT compliance processes in what will be a split VAT system between goods and services?
Well, the biggest problem is that we don't have certainty. And every time I'm on one of these podcasts, I'm sure people think that I'm a broken record, but it's that certainty that we lack. And a lot of that certainty has to come from the deliberations of the Joint Committee. Now, this morning we have had a report back on the this morning's UK-EU Joint Committee meeting, and so far we've only heard from the EU side. Maurice Sefcovic has come out and said that the window of opportunity to put things in place, to operational measures in place for the protocol is closing, and that the EU needs the UK to speed up work on things like SPS, customs IT systems, but he specifically also mentioned that registration of NI traders for VAT. And they're saying that the current position of where the UK is far from what the EU can accept. This has all been made a little bit harder because of the UK Internal Market Bill, which is seen to be by the EU as a bit of bad faith. And even in the EU's comments today, there was the repeated request for those clauses in the UK Internal Market Bill to be withdrawn, as they're seeing a serious breach of protocol. Where that leaves retailers and business in Northern Ireland in general is in an area where we still cannot plan fully. Now, you got to remember where we were in 2018, we actually made straight asks of both the UK government and the EU, and what was in Theresa May's withdrawal agreement was something that had never been done before, and it was there because we had asked for it. We had gone to Brussels and we had asked, or we'd said that VAT was such a problem, and that's why that solution of VAS and HMRC being able to work together in the Northern Ireland context was seen as such an innovative solution. We don't have that now. We're still looking at dual registrations. We're still looking at dual reporting, and we're still looking at all of this being ready to go by the 1st of January, which we said in January and February of this year that it was a Herculean task. It's only got harder since then.
So can you go a little bit into how the Joint Committee and the Specialised Committee processes try and resolve the issues over compliance for businesses?
So what they will look at is a series of principles on the EU side. The principles that they have, if they look at it subjectively, is that they will be looking to protect the single market and the customs union, whereas the UK will be looking to remove as much friction as possible. Now, both sides have agreed on a key principle of protecting the Northern Ireland economy and protecting the Good Friday agreement. However, this is where the friction comes, because the EU and the UK are looking at this in very, very different ways. They're coming from very, very different starting points. And usually, if this was some sort of negotiation, this would take years rather than the very short window of time that we have. The fact that the specialised committee will be collecting evidence, it will be meeting in early October. It will talk to people like ourselves with the Northern Ireland Business Brexit Working Group and with other stakeholders to find out what business needs. It'll also talk to the devolved government, but also talk to stakeholders in Europe. And then it'll give recommendations to the joint committee. And it's that joint committee with Maura Sefcovic sitting on the EU side, and obviously there's the UK side as well. They will try and make those determinations which will allow trade to happen. But which, how would I put this nicely? It has to be a compromise on both sides based on those principles. On the EU side of protecting the single market, and the customs union, and the UK side of protecting both its sovereignty and the NI economy, and both of them trying to protect the Good Friday Agreement. This is not an easy thing to do.
Absolutely not. So, Caroline, this is this has obviously been quite a technical podcast in some ways. So, just simplifying a little bit for the listeners, what are the three things businesses should be doing today to check that they're up to date with the business readiness plan on customs and VAT as they need to be?
So, I would summarise that as number one, engage with external parties and be ready to question and challenge. Number two, sense check the work that you've done to date. You may not be as ready as you think you are. And number three, don't wait and see. Time is running out to be ready.
Fantastic. Nice and concise. Well, I think that's where we'll leave the discussion for today. Some great tips for our listeners there for everyone to think about. If you'd like to find out more, Deloitte have produced guides on importing and exporting goods from Great Britain, which you can read on the BRC Brexit Hub. That's brc.org.uk/Brexit. Thanks to everyone for joining us today. And until next time, goodbye for now.